raise your hand if you are a four-wheel drive person like myself. I come from a long line of Jeep drivers, and it is snowing, but that does not stop us. But before that reason, I will respect your time, and I am going to really probably focus on introing my message. This will be a series, because when do I ever do it in like one Sunday? It really doesn't happen. So this is a series, and our series title is From Devastation to Restoration. So how many people have even seen that in your own life besides me? I have gone from devastation to restoration in my own life, and I actually really wanted to preach this message about two years ago, and it was a revelation to me, and I was just itching to do it, and it was probably a couple weeks ago when I felt the Lord just say in my heart, it's time. So I'm going to preach this, and it's so in my heart. I'm excited. Let me think here. I just want to pray real quick. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much. Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and are glad in it. God, we thank you for the snow. We thank you for the majesty of the glory, of the beauty of the earth you've created for us. And we are thankful. And I thank you for peace, wisdom, and grace, Lord, for our day. And I thank you for those that are watching at home, Lord. This is a day just filled of peace, love, and joy, spending time with our family and spending time in the Word with you. And I thank you. Lead and guide me in my message. You show me exactly where to cut off and continue next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I keep in touch with a lot of people at the church, and I just ask them, hey, how their week is going? How can I pray for you? Michelle does that to me. Like, we love them. And I was going through kind of a rough 3 weeks. Anybody else besides me, the last 3 weeks were kind of bumpy? I was struggling in my soul. My mind, my will, and my emotions were wrestling every day. And I'm a pastor, and I read the Word every day. But every day I was wrestling to get into faith, and it was not an easy thing for me. Anybody else? Let's real talk, right? Real talk. And so what do you do when you're having a terrible day, a terrible week, a really, really rough year? And if you're one of those people that aren't honest, that's called lying. So it's okay to say when you're having a terrible day. So I don't know about you, but I got to a point this week where I like called Brad at the end of the day, and I was like, all I want to do is eat fried chicken and drink milkshakes and just drive off and just go somewhere warm. That's all I want to do right now. And Brad was like, well, you don't want to eat fried chicken on the beach because it's getting all gritty. And I was like, thank you. He has a lot of wisdom. But that's really where I was at in my week. And, you know, sometimes we don't always have the healthiest of go-tos when we're having a rough season. Right? I'm sure you guys are thinking of some. So, you know, I would say in 2020, it was the year of Netflix binging like none other before. And then you ran out of quickly any decent content. I watched the cheesiest documentary last night, and I was just desperate for something that was not terrible. Or sometimes we try to go about a healthier way, but we busy ourselves with distractions. You know, I try to go to the gym. You know, it's a good, healthy distraction, but sometimes that can take the place of just spending some quiet time with God. We go on trips, we go to the gym, we go hunting, we go shopping, lots of online shopping, or just tons of scrolling, mind-numbing scrolling. And these are all things we kind of try to do to distract ourselves from painful circumstances. But what do you do when you feel like your whole career, your whole life, your whole business just burnt down to the ground in 2020. And that literally happened for some people in our church. And we had to kind of stand with them through that. You know, sometimes we feel like we are surrounded by nothing but devastation and ashes. And we struggle in those moments to find hope. Find hope for our economy, for our nation, for our government, for our lives. Anybody been there? Yeah. This is like Real Talk Sunday. So when we face devastating reports and overwhelming seasons, and I did, I had a lot of overwhelming moments in the last couple weeks where I just felt emotionally overwhelmed, where I talked to people and I was like, I am maxed out right now. Like, I cannot probably take on more weight, especially even from other people. And like I said, this is just real talk. Guys, all it was my soul. It was my emotions. So today we're going to talk about part one is double for your trouble. And I'm going to tell you what I do in these seasons. First of all, you have to train yourself. Train means you have to choose, although you don't feel like doing something. So when you train for a marathon, you get out of bed, you eat healthy, and you run for miles, not because you feel like it. Some people do. I'm not a person that ever runs for fun. but you have to jerk yourself out of doubt Jerk yourself out of depression, out of unbelief, and out of fear. How many people have had to jerk yourself out of that? I mean, even Mr. Mark's testimony was a powerful example of jerking your brain out of going down the junk hole. It was just a terrible, like, junk thoughts, right? And you have to stand on the promises of God and stir yourself up and encourage yourself in the Lord. And this is a series, probably at least 3 weeks, and sometimes it goes 4 or 8 weeks, I don't know. But I'm going to be tearing through incredible stories in the Bible where you are going to see double for your trouble, God's justice, his vengeance, his recompense, his vindication. And until you can, so you can look at those stories and stir yourself up. There's a really powerful one you can go read, and I'll probably preach it in a couple weeks, David at Ziklag. He lost everything, burnt to the ground, and he chose to stir himself up and encourage himself in the Lord. How do we do that? We worship, and we worship loud and off key. I don't even care if it gets messy, but we choose to worship. Guys, worship is not a feeling. It's not even a slow song. It is to make your words line up with God's word and declare them over your life and declare God's faithfulness. We pray from our whole heart, sincerely. We pray in tongues. We pray in the Holy Spirit. And we declare the word of God despite our feelings. So the best place I have found on those days, and I literally read this chapter every day for probably a good 3 weeks, and it's been a scripture that I've been standing on. Everybody open up to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 for part one, double for your trouble. So this is probably my prescription for people, including myself. So you have to take your own advice sometimes when you are struggling in your soul to get in faith. So Isaiah chapter 61, and I'm going to put it on the screen. Actually, our incredible sound team, thank you, Wayne and Isaiah, for saving the day. They drove out here in the snow, and they don't have SUVs, so we thank you, and God, you bless them on their drive back to East York. We are so thankful for you. But we are going to put Isaiah 61 scripture by scripture, and we are going to read it together. And don't make this a snooze fest. We are not in school. So I want you to, like, read it in faith and declare it over your life. This is my prescription to people, and you have to put your name in the scripture. And so when I read this, I will read it with myself, and I will put people's names that I'm standing with to see this. Because where do I want to start? So when I was working through this, I had to declare the scripture over my life, over people in my life, over situations, even over this church especially. And until I would get in faith and I could see it. You got to say things, not mindlessly repeating stuff, right? You got to say things in faith. You got to see it in your heart. And it takes some time. So sometimes I have to read it over and over again until that oppressive, depressing, hopeless weight, or our students like to call it the meh feeling, lifts off. Anybody know what meh is? Yeah. Talk to your teenager. They will tell you exactly what meh is. All right. So, you know who also did this, but did it from a different standpoint, was Jesus did this. In Luke chapter 4, and you can go back and read it later in verses 16 through 21. So Jesus actually chose to read Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, publicly in the Jewish synagogue for a reason. He did it to announce himself as the Messiah and basically says, hey, everybody, don't worry, because Rome was a really, really rough, oppressive power at that day. I watch documentaries because I'm nerdy, and it was really rough to be a Jew at that time. And he said, hey, don't worry, the Savior is here. And essentially he read this, rolled up the scroll, dropped the mic, and sat down. And it was kind of like this profound moment where, let's read it. Verse 21, it says, he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled for your hearing. So Jesus used Isaiah 61 to prophesy a new era, a new day, a new testament, a new and better covenant, a new deal. So Jesus actually started something. And when you read throughout the New Testament, and especially when he gave you the Great Commission, he started something for you, us, his church, to finish by the power of the Holy Spirit moving on this earth through you. So 1 John 4:17 says, because as he is, Jesus is in this world, so are we called to be. That means we are actually the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We are his ambassadors. So when you pray for God to do something on the earth, most times he's actually going to do it through other people, right? But it's our choice if we want to move with the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And if someone doesn't want to move with what the Holy Spirit's doing, he will either find someone else or eventually, watch out, he will come like in like a flood and do his thing. And I believe in my heart we're actually entering into a season of We did what we were supposed to do. We stood in faith. We acted in faith. And now we will stand and see the greatness of God, the God of angel armies, move on our behalf in an unexpected way, not the timing we want it, because when you read the Bible, it looks like he's late and he never is. So are you guys standing in faith for that? Yeah. Okay, I am too. And I had to stir myself up. So listen, my prescription to everyone in this church, for the next month, read and declare Isaiah 61 over you, your life, your family, your business, and our nation. All right, so let's see here. So we're going to read this. Okay, so can we get Isaiah 61 verses, let's start with verse 1 on the screen. And I have this in the Amplified Bible, and what I did is I compiled the Amplified Bible and the Amplified Classic, because it just provides different layers, and what it does is it combines different translations, and brings a lot more depth and personalization to it. All right, so we're going to read this together. You guys ready? And when we say the word me, and by the way, since a lot of people are at home, I need you guys to be a little extra loud. Is that okay? Because I'm obnoxiously loud. I am. It's true. I work at it. I like sometimes it's a little hard in the car because I'm so loud. So I want you to be loud. But listen, I don't want you just to say something. The Bible says you're not supposed to mindlessly repeat prayers. Like there are some, some misleading teachings that say you just need to repeat this over and over and over and over and over again. If you don't have faith in about it, if you're not thinking about it, if you're not applying it, if you're not seeing it in your heart, you're kind of, it's, that it doesn't work like that. All right. So, ready for this? Okay, we're going to read. It's on the screen here. Okay. If we can't make it bigger, that's okay. Just mumble through it. All right. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim the release from the confinement and condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives, and freedom to prisoners." So we're going to pause and we're going to chew on that and think about it. So I don't know about you, but feeling confined for the last year was not good for my brain. Okay, we as human beings were actually born to come together and to connect. We are actually told to not neglect the gathering together of the saints in church, in friendship, in family, because the Lord created us to come together. Remember, Adam was alone, and God was like, "Yo, it's not good for a man to be alone." How many wives out there is like, it's not good for him to be alone. Like, he needs me. All right, so we as a church body have to come together, and we are called to go chase down people and pull them out of confinement. And this social distancing thing, guys, it's just an excuse at this point. No more. No more. Can everybody say no more? No more. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for you physically, emotionally, spiritually. And listen, by the way, social distancing, you can call, you can Zoom. Like, we need to reach out and set people free, because there are a lot of people that are trapped in their heads right now in depression and hopelessness, and they need you to jerk yourself out of apathy and complacency and distraction to reach out to them saying, "This is the year of the Lord, and it's time to be free and accept the freedom of Jesus and his promises." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So it says here that we are all qualified. In Christ Jesus, we are all called to minister. It's not just for the pastors. Did you know that? It actually says, and I don't have time to preach it, but if you go look into it, and when you look up Christ's ambassadors, it says we are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. It's not pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, and all that jazz. It is literally every single person that accepts Jesus Christ is called to represent Jesus on this earth and tell them about who Jesus is and how he has reconciled, paid the sin debt to make us right with God. That's all our jobs. And we are all qualified. You don't need a Bible school degree. You don't need to look a certain way, talk a certain way. Look at me. I do not fit the mold there, guys. So you need to be yourself. God created you to be who you're called to be. You don't need to change how you dress and how you look. You be yourself and you tell people what God has done in your life. We are all qualified. So stop disqualifying yourself and waiting for someone else to do it. Because if you're praying for someone else to go to your family, to go to your friends, to go to your coworkers, he's probably calling you. And if that door is shut, you go be the answer for someone else's family, friends, and coworkers. Amen? Because we are surrounded, especially after 2020, with broken and hurting, lost people that are fighting depression and anxiety and panic attacks right now, and sick people, and the cure, Jesus Christ, is inside you. Not just for physical ailments, but spiritual things and emotional things as well. So we have to turn the switch of faith back on. And I was struggling. Like I said, I'm being real talk. The last 3 weeks, every day, it was a struggle for me. I remember I would just sit in mom's office going, I am tired. I'm struggling right now. My mom, Pastor D, was such an encouragement to me. And she helped me stir myself up and turn the switch of faith back on. It's a choice. It is not a feeling. We don't need to feel God to open up the Bible and look for his promises and speak it over our life in faith, right? If you're waiting for a feeling, it probably won't come because that's your flesh. And we feed our flesh on Netflix. We feed our flesh on fried chicken and ice cream, and I am just as guilty. And I'm like having to like choose to open up my Bible and fight the good fight of faith inside, right? All right, so we're back to verse 2. You guys ready? We're going to declare this over our lives. Do not check out on me. This is not school. All right, so I want you, when we say me, I need you to see in your God imagination. Faith is seeing something that you can't physically feel or see manifest in the world around you. I want you to use faith, your God imagination inside, to see these scriptures playing out in your life, your family, your business, your finances, our nation, and the world around us. All right, verse 2, ready? Okay. I got a different translation. You're good. Okay. He has sent, hold on. Actually, can you go back to verse 1? Let me see here. My bad. Can you go back to verse 1 there, Isaiah? It's my bad. We'll get back to that one. Okay, here we go. The spirit of the, okay, hold on. Let's put here. All right, we're going to go to the comfort part. Sorry, I'm just at this point. There we go. All right, that's great. All right. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim the release from confinement and condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives, and freedom to prisoners. All right, verse 2. Thanks, guys. My bad. All right. And it says, to proclaim, he has sent me to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of his vengeance and retribution of our God, to comfort all who mourn. All right. I want to talk about what vengeance means. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And vengeance is not a term of hate, okay? It's not a term of payback or emotional like thing. It is actually God's payback, his retribution, or his compensation for damages done to your life through the enemy, through Satan. All right? So when we pray this, we are believing God in faith, and faith moves the Lord, not our need, right? Faith activates what the Holy Spirit can do through your life to comfort and restore, and to restore double for your trouble of restoration. For everything Satan tried to steal in your life, for everything Satan tried to steal and damage in your life, even in 2020, what this and reading this in faith does is it declares that this is a new season, 2021. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what anybody else says. God's word says that this is the year of the favor of the Lord. Favor, according to the Bible, is not something in the New Testament that is merited or earned. It is free. It is the grace of God. So 2021, everybody say after this, 2021 is the year of the favor of the Lord. Amen. Okay, ready? Say after me. 2021 is the season of restitution, double restoration, and God's vindication. Amen. All right, so Isaiah 61, 3 through 6. All right, I'm just going to read it. You don't need to read. It says, to comfort all who mourn, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. God is a God of love, and God is a God of justice. Because he loves you, he is going to move in action in your life because he's a good dad. He's a good father. And what happens is if God does not move in justice, we lose hope. We lose faith. We fall into despair. We fall into fear. And what that does is it opens a door for the enemy to wreak havoc of evil across the earth. You wonder why Satan used so much fear in 2020? Because it kicked the door wide open for him to do his thing. Well, scripture says here, his season is over in Jesus' name. Right? Amen? The year of the favor of the Lord, the day of his justice, his restitution, his recompense. It means compensation for damages. Let's go back here. All right. Verse 4, it says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities, and they will revive them. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God, and you will feed on the treasures of all the nations and boast in his riches. This is not written to pastors. This is saying that the Lord's people, the children of God, his church, it says, we will rebuild the ancient ruins. We're going to rebuild your county. Amen? Amen. We're going to rebuild this church. We're going to rebuild our lives to the power of God moving through it. And it says here that you will be called ministers of our God, because we are all called to be ministers. We are all Christ's ambassadors, and you are called to your career. You are in full-time ministry if you have a job. If you're in a full-time job, you're in full-time ministry. If you're in a part-time job, you got a life, you're in full-time ministry. Straight up. All right? So God's vengeance promises to rebuild the ruins of your life, to make beauty from ashes, to turn joy from mourning, to bring revival, to restore double for the trouble. The favor of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord goes before you. We are entering into a season of repayment for all that Satan stole, because God is the waymaker. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of miracles. He is never late. Everybody say, he is never late. God is never late, and it is never too late. Can you stir yourself in faith right now? Can you see it? And listen, even in my own life, man, I have prayed and I have been through seasons of terrible loss and despair and destruction where I thought my life was over, ruined, would never recuperate. And I had to, for years, speak this over my life until I started seeing God doing it. And I went, oh, this is the season. This is the season I've been declaring for a few years. This is the season of the Lord's faithfulness, his favor, his vengeance, his recompense, where he is compensating me for damages. He restores double for my life above and beyond your highest hopes, dreams, and imaginations. He is the waymaker. He is vindicating for injustice. He is recompensing. He is compensating double for your trouble. If you stand in faith. See, this is an if-then moment. Isaiah 61 declares God's justice and demands double recompense, but you must see it in faith in your heart. And the Bible just doesn't say think in faith. The Bible actually says you need to speak faith, right? If you say to this mountain of opposition that is holding back your life, your family, your ministry, your business, be removed and cast into the sea with faith, it will be done. You don't just think it. You have to say it too. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. So we must fill up on God's word daily. It is a choice. Trust me, you won't feel like it. You probably won't. Until you get into the habit where you start craving it. I get to the point where I'm like, I crave God's word because I am a mess without him. I am an embarrassing mess. I do a lot of apologizing. So, like, I am so much better when I spend time in the Word, okay? There's just certain personalities that are a little bit more loud and emotional and have to do way more apologizing in life. I am one of those personalities. I am designed to do a lot of repenting. So, if I fill up on the Word of God, come on, right, Lane? Lane and I? Okay, that's good. We fill up on the Word of God, and we fight every day, no matter what we're feeling, to stay in faith and switch turn the switch of faith back on. And you might have to turn the fake news off. Please turn your junky social media off, okay? And listen, despite bad medical reports, you will have to choose to turn the switch of faith on. So if we are listening 4 hours a day to the news and we're not spending that much time in the Word of God, we have an idol in our life. And that means the news is louder than God's Word in your life, and that means an adjustment needs to be made. Amen? Faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. All right, verse 7. The if-then promises. If you're in faith, if you stay in faith, then the promises of God play out. Verse 7. Instead of your former shame and dishonor, you will have a twofold recompense. You will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land. And instead of dishonor and reproach and humiliation, your people will shout for for joy over their portion. Therefore, in their land, they will possess double what they had forfeited. Everlasting joy will be theirs. What connects you with restoration is joy and praise and faith. And you had a great opportunity this morning. And if you missed your opportunity, do it when you get home. Do it on your drive. Do it while you paint your face with makeup. Okay, that is my time to jerk myself out of my feelings and start declaring the faithfulness of God and getting my eyes on him. All right, Isaiah 61 declares and prophesies that we are in a new era now. If we continue to stand in faith. Everybody say, if we continue to stand in faith on the promises of word and the character and nature of Jesus Christ. If we don't get pulled into fear. If we don't get pulled into discouragement, depression, doubt, and just quit. God is faithful to perform his word and vindicate you and restore you. 2021 is the year of the Lord's favor. Amen?
Amen?
Amen means let it be so. Some people in the word don't know what amen means. I won't even go into that one in the news. Amen actually means let it be so. Okay, tell your friends. Put that one on social media, please. Okay, let it be so. All right, it is the year of God's favor. Amen?
Amen.
It is the year of God's vengeance. Amen?
Amen.
And it is the year of God's recompense. Amen. When all that has been harassing you and causing dishonor to his church and everything that stands against believers and their calling and their ministry and what you're called to do and your business and being a light in the community and a light in your school district. Hey, church, time to go back to school. Be the light. If all the life leads to school, it goes to darkness, and darkness makes really bad decisions for society and shapes culture. So, whatever has been harassing you or causing dishonor to the Lord's church and everything that is standing against believers, their callings, their ministry, whatever is holding back your career, your business from fruitfulness, from health and prosperity, whatever has been hindering the call of God on your life, this is the season it is removed. Now, in Jesus' name. That's what God promises, but you will have to choose to see it in faith and declare it. Amen?
Amen.
Let it be so. Whatever obstacles that have kept you locked down and held back are broken and removed and cast into the sea. And we call breakthrough favor, double restoration, restitution now in Jesus' name. All right, so we're going to close with this thought. So I'm telling you, don't check out on me. I want you to see this as we read it. And what's our assignment? Isaiah 61, every day, don't make it a monotonous, mindless thing, otherwise you're wasting your time. Get in faith and see it in your heart. So Isaiah 61, 8 through 9 in the Amplified says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing with violence and a burnt offering. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering." There is suffering when we follow Jesus. There are some Christians that won't acknowledge that, and I think they don't read their Bible, because if you read especially the New Testament, there is a sacrifice to obey the Lord. There is a sacrifice to be a Christian and be a light in your career path. There is persecution that goes with it. There was a parent here that they were going to a school board meeting for Central Schools because there were decisions in their curriculum that were incredibly ungodly, and I don't have time to go into it. And she called me to pray, and she is trying to rally parents to go stand with her before a school board and couldn't get people to do it. Christians, get into the public school system. It is shaping our culture and the future of your children and the world they live in. Now listen, you obey whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, and if the Holy Spirit tells you to homeschool your kids, you obey the Holy Spirit because he knows. But if you're just making a decision because that's what other people are doing and you're peer pressured, you need to hear from God what you're supposed to do. Hear me out. "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing with violence and a burnt offering. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering. Make an everlasting covenant with them. Everyone will realize that they are the people the Lord has blessed." That parent that had called me was being persecuted and harassed, name-calling. They were calling, I won't even go into it. What they were standing for was just to have godly curriculum taught and not agenda being taught to their kids. And the name-calling, the slander, the stuff that was put all over social media about this parents was heart-wrenching. Church, we need to stand together. Amen? We serve a God of forgiveness. We serve a God of love. We serve a God of peace. We serve a God of mercy. We serve a God of grace. but we also serve a God of justice. And if someone or something has shamed you, God will recompense. It is not your job to do that. Whatever was lost, God will restore double. You don't need to go take that, right? You have stood, you have acted, you have prayed, you've been obedient. There is full restoration plus double compensation, double for your trouble when you stand in faith. You can't make something happen. All you can do is pray, stand, and be obedient. You do your side, God will do the God side. Amen? So remember this, God lavishes you with grace that you don't deserve, and he will bless you double. So don't look back. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Watch his double restoration in your career, your family, your relationships, your finances, your ministry, your influence, your schools, your neighborhood. If you stand in faith. There's a lot of people that say they're in faith for stuff, and they're not. I'm a faith preacher, and I was struggling in my soul. My mind, my will, and my emotions were maxed out for the last 3 weeks. I had to choose to fight, to not just say, I believe in faith, I stand in faith, I read the scripture. I had to fight to see God moving in my life, my family, this church, my relationships, this nation, and our government. You follow? So I'm tired of Christians that say they're in faith, and we are an absolute train wreck, and all we're doing is spreading fear, panic, and anxiety. This is not the time to be panicking and hoarding. Okay? Follow me on this one? Use wisdom, be led by peace, but if you are in faith, your life will be an active living representation of faith in Jesus Christ. I read Isaiah 54 over me almost every day as well. No weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Amen? All right, so we're going to stand. I'm stopping early, and I was going to have us worship, but right now, I want you to worship on your drive home. Hallelujah. Okay, so stand up. Nevin, unless you sense we could do it, it's up to you. No, okay, I just want to honor your time. And listen, you guys have come to church in faith. The roads in Jesus' name are clear and not slippery, but I just scratched the surface of my series. You have homework. This is not school. But declare Isaiah 61 over your life till you actually believe it. Until your countenance, like myself, changes, and you can see it. And I need you to be in faith not just for your own life and your own business and your own family. I want you to get in faith for your neighbors as well. I want you to get in faith for your county, the state of Pennsylvania, our nation, and the entire world, right? Because we are called to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom, God's rule, God's reign, God's government on earth as it is in heaven through his citizens. We have a job to do. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, I love you, and I thank you, Lord, for writing Isaiah 61. I thank you for writing that and declaring it through your prophet Isaiah. I thank you that Jesus reminded us that that was so relevant, and it was the door, he kicked the door into the manifestation of Isaiah 61 into the earth. And I thank you, what you started through Jesus Christ, you will complete through your Holy Spirit on the earth now in Jesus' name through our life. And we ask you, Lord God, we repent, number one, including myself, for getting emotionally overwhelmed, for getting into fear, despair, or even anger, or even wishing ill will towards people that we see as your enemies. We are to bless our enemies and even God's enemies. We are to pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us. Because you know what God's New Testament, vengeance, justice, and recompense is? That the ones that Satan has been using repent and come to know the Lord. Just like the Apostle Paul, who was the greatest persecutor in that time, and he was a murderer and a harasser. And I believe that the church was praying for him. And he repented, came to the Lord, and became the greatest advocate, the greatest apostle, wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. That is God's vengeance and justification. And we are to pray and bless and watch God do something so miraculous. So So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I almost started preaching next week, so I had to just stop right there. Like literally, I was like, I got to stop preaching. Okay, so listen, you guys have a wonderful day. We love you. Come back next week. If you, please send this link to people that aren't here today, because if they miss this one, they might be a little behind next week. All right, love you guys.